You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, the plan today is to remember our church anniversary a little bit, thinking of the history of our congregation, and then to take a look at the hymn, Thy Strong Word. We've sung through part of it already. We're going to finish singing through it after the sermon today. First of all, as we think about our congregation, this coming Wednesday is November 13th, and that marks the 115th anniversary of this congregation. What does that mean? It was actually a couple years prior to that when people started to gather and this congregation was forming. But on that particular date, November 13th, back in 1904, that is when up here at the corner, the first church building had been built, and they had the first divine service in the first church building on that particular day. As you look at our service folder for today, you see a couple pictures of buildings. You see the old building from up on the corner. You see the current building that we're in. Are buildings important? Well, they're kind of important. As the weather gets colder outside, it's nice to be inside a building. But really, though, sometimes people can get way too caught up in buildings. So let's keep things in the proper perspective. So God the Father, His Holy Word, His Son, the Holy Spirit, those are the important things. The buildings are so much secondary, so may God help us to always keep things in the proper perspective. Because here at Bethlehem, the Word of God was important a long time ago, and still today, it continues to be extremely important for us. What I decided to do today is to preach through the words of this hymn, Thy Strong Word. So a little bit about the background of the hymn. It was written back in 1961. It was written by Martin H. Franzmann, and at the time, he was a professor at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. When I've sung through the hymn in the past, I never really noticed this before, but each stanza of the hymn has a particular theme to it. I'm going to work through those, but for example, let me just go through the themes real quick. So in the first stanza, we're singing about the work of God's creation. In the second stanza, we have the people falling into sin. Think about the nice chronological order here. The work of creation, the people falling into sin, and then we have in the third stanza, God doing his saving work through his word. In the fourth stanza, then it points to Jesus dying on the cross, and in his dying, he ends up winning. Generally, death would be a defeat, but he wins by dying. And then in the fifth stanza, it's calling believers to proclaim what God has done to other people in the world. And then finally, the sixth stanza is simply praising the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for all they have done to bless us now and forever. That's really the entire hymn, but let's go ahead and take a look at it just a little bit closer here. And what I also did is I chose a Bible passage that I thought was pertinent for each stanza. So going back to stanza one and beginning with the topic of creation, I chose a passage right from the very beginning of the Bible. So how does the Bible begin? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. That's the passage. And then in the hymn, "Thy strong word did cleave the darkness, at thy speaking it was done." So way back when only God existed, God the Father worked through God the Son in order to speak the universe into existence. So on that first day of creation, God created time, heavens, earth, and light. And then we sang, "For created light we thank thee, while thine ordered seasons run." So daylight is quite a blessing. Why is it that we celebrate Christmas on December 25? We do that because we took a pagan celebration and made it into the celebration of the birth of the true light of the world. So what day on the calendar becomes the day where we have the most darkness? That would be the first day of winter, which I believe is December 21. Way, way back, even the pagans realized the importance of daylight, and between December 21 and December 25, they realized, oh, we have a little bit more daylight now. We should get together and have a celebration because there's more daylight. So finally, the Christians grabbed that day and they said, we don't know exactly what day Jesus was born on, but those people are celebrating daylight. We're going to take that day and we're going to celebrate the birth of the light of the world, who is Jesus Christ. That's why we celebrate on December 25. And then we have the refrain here. So the refrain picks up in stanzas 1-4, praise to thee who light dost send, and then a bunch of alleluias. Going on to the second stanza here, we see our fall into sin. Notice here, God makes the perfect world, right away the fall into sin, and then right away the promise of the Savior. Notice how the stanza picks that up. Before I go to the stanza, though, let me go to my pertinent passage here in Genesis chapter 2, then a little bit in chapter 3. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And then jumping to chapter 3, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. So think about every bad and sad and evil thing in the entire world, and know that that's the root of it right there. It seems like such a minor thing, doesn't it? God said, hey, don't eat from that one particular tree, and yet they ate, and that just brought just so much bad into our world. Notice the hymn stanza now. Lo on those who dwelt in darkness, dark as night and deep as death. So things went from being unbelievably wonderful to being unbelievably horrible right away just from that sin. So it was a turn of 180 degrees. It was going from light to darkness. It was going from life to death. But notice, so the very next stanza of the hymn, broke the light of thy salvation, breathed thine own life-giving breath. That's pointing to when people were now dead in their sins. That's already pointing to the Son of God coming and putting on human flesh and then breathing our air, walking in our shoes, taking our sins, taking our punishment, laying down his life, doing everything necessary for our salvation. That's how the Bible lays it out, that God didn't leave the people hanging, wondering, are we lost forever, or is God going to step in? Right away, that's all there in Genesis chapter 3. We have the chapter beginning with a perfect world. We have the fall into sin. We have the promise of the Savior. We have the first sacrifice pointing ahead to the ultimate sacrifice of Christ, and so on. All there in Genesis chapter 3. And then in the third stanza, it's pointing to God's saving work that he does through his word. So what's the name of the hymn? Thy Strong Word. God worked through his word to create all things. God works through his word in order to recreate us into his holy children. The Bible passage here I chose comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, and it says, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. So God worked through his word, connected to the water of baptism, giving us life in Christ, and even apart from baptism, God working through his word in order to make us alive in Jesus Christ. Notice the hymn stanza, thy strong word bespeaks us righteous, bright with thine own holiness. So again, God worked through the Word to create the world, also to make us his holy children through Jesus. And then the hymn says, "Glorious now, we press toward glory, and our lives, our hopes confess." So think about it like this, going back to what we said about All Saints last week. So right now, God has made us holy in his sight, but we are not actually holy. So right now, we are pressing on through this life until finally we are actually holy when we are with God. So we are greatly blessed now, but there is much more to come, and it's all because of the connection that God has given us with Jesus Christ. And then in the fourth stanza, Jesus here is winning through his dying. The pertinent passage, John 19, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Notice in the hymn, "From the cross thy wisdom shining breaketh forth in conquering might." So think about the cross back before the time of Jesus. The cross was a form of capital punishment. It was one of the worst forms of capital punishment. It was a long and excruciating and difficult death in every way that you can imagine. That's what it was. What did God do, though? God turned it around. So look at the next stanza of the hymn. "From the cross forever beameth all thy bright redeeming light." So the cross was always a symbol of horror, and yet now we have crosses all over the place. If you begin to count here in our worship area, you will find hundreds of crosses, and those are all pointing not to a horrible thing, but to the great love of our Father in heaven in sending his Son, and the great obedience and love of our Lord Jesus Christ in order to go to the cross, in order to take away our sins and to make us holy in God's sight and to give us a wonderful eternity. And then in the fifth stanza, we have believers praying. So this is our prayer in this stanza, asking God to help us to proclaim his word, to proclaim what he has done. The passage I chose here is in 1 Peter chapter 2, and it says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You have to think that through a little bit. You have to think how we were dead in our sins. We were on the path to eternal punishment, and there was nothing we could do about it. And then God stepped in. God got a hold of us. God connected us to Jesus Christ and the benefits that he won for us. God made us his holy children. God is providing all that we need now. God has promised us a wonderful eternity. He's just turned it from something horrible to something wonderful. He wants us to see that. He wants us to rejoice in that. And he wants us to proclaim that good news to others so they can have the benefits too. Notice what the hymn says. "Give us lips to sing thy glory, tongues thy mercy to proclaim." God's mercy is so wonderful. Without God's mercy, God would have no choice but to pour out his wrath upon us. In his mercy, he holds back the wrath that we deserve, and instead he poured it out on his Son, Jesus Christ. His mercy is so amazing. And then the hymn says, "Throats that shout the hope that fills us, mouths to speak his holy name." When we think about the word hope in the Bible, it's talking about being certain of a yet-to-be-fulfilled promise. Some people might look at us Christians and say, "That's foolishness, what you guys believe in. Look at the miserable lives you have. Look at the miserable world we live in. This Bible doesn't mean anything." And a lot of people buy into that. But God wants us to know that He is God. He is a holy God. His promises are true. And one day, according to His timing, He's going to fulfill every one of them. And He's saying, be certain of that, hold on to them, and don't give up no matter what. And He wants our lives to reflect that confidence in who He is and what He has promised. A little bit different third line here of this stanza. It says, may the light which thou dost send fill our songs with alleluias, alleluias without end. So by God's grace, we are heaven bound. So may we greatly rejoice when we think about where we were, where God has placed us now, and what is yet to come in Jesus Christ. Finally, the sixth stanza, we are simply praising the Holy Trinity for His goodness to us. So we go to a passage here, Revelation chapter 7, just a couple verses, but it says, a great multitude that no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Why are the people crying out to God? Because they know that they deserve none of it. They deserve something horrible. They know that God has given them something wonderful. They know that God has done the entire thing, and they are giving all the praise to God the Father and all the praise to God the Son for what they have done. And we also include here the Holy Spirit, because He is the one that connects us then to the work of God the Son and keeps us in Jesus Christ all the way to the end of our lives. Notice the stanza, God the Father, light creator, to thee laud and honor be. So we think again how God the Father created all things through the Son. Let us praise Him. And then, to thee, light of light begotten, praise be sung eternally. So the Son of God, He is the true light of the world. He is begotten of the Father. He is our Savior. Let us praise Him. Holy Spirit, light revealer, glory, glory be to thee. See, the Holy Spirit has to open our spiritual eyes. The Holy Spirit has to reveal to us the truth of the Bible. The Holy Spirit has to reveal to us our lost condition in our sins. The Holy Spirit has to reveal to us who Jesus is and what He has done. So He does all of that, and He also gives us then that gift of faith by which we trust Him. And then finally, the hymn concludes by saying, mortals, angels, now and ever, praise the Holy Trinity. So for all who know God, they are blessed now and forever. So may all who know God, and may God even bring others to know Him too, but may all such people praise the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in all their ways for all of time and for all of eternity. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, Your word is so strong to create and to save. For the countless blessings You have showered upon people in connection with this congregation, we give You thanks. Now, going forward, we pray that You would keep us true to Your strong word, and help us that we might proclaim it to others so that they might know You too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church in the Parma, Ohio area, please attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our regular schedule. Saturdays, divine service at 4. Sundays, divine service at 9, classes at 10:30. For our festival schedule and for much more, go to our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. Now, may the Lord of peace Himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with us all.